Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we're continuing our series called Life Preservers. And at the end of service today, as you walk out the doors, you have a very special treat for every single one of us that Miss Selena made for us. And Life Preserver cookies on your way out, all right? So she did an absolutely amazing job, and so make sure you grab one of those on your way out to remind you while you're eating that delicious Life Preserver cookie that God's promises are found throughout the Bible, and that he has given us these promises that we can hold on to. Again, as part of this entire series, we've been taking a look at who God is and in his word and what promises he has specifically given to us. And there are times in life that things are going great, and you're just experiencing a season of prosperity, a season of growth, of blessings, and that is amazing. And we all love those seasons, amen? When everything is going fine, relationships are healthy, there's money in the bank at the end of the month, there's you know, kids aren't fighting, and that's a great time, right? That's a great season. We all long for those times and seasons, and we praise God for those times, and we should praise God for those times. But we do find ourselves in situations in life where trouble comes along. And we don't know what to do. We don't know what to hold on to. That sometimes we may even feel as though that we are drowning. And just like on any boat, any water vessel, craft that you may be on, you have life preservers that in the event of an emergency, you've got something to hold on to, something to keep you afloat. In life, we're going to face emergencies. In life, we're going to face challenges. And God's word is chock full of promises for you and I that we can hold on to sustain us. That we're going to have times of difficulty. God's word does not say that life is going to be wonderful every single day. We know that we're going to face challenges. But through those challenges, we have promises that we can hold on to. So we've explored a couple of those different promises. We've understood that the difference between the promise that God makes is universal for all mankind, that there's nothing that we can do to affect those promises. Then there are promises that are conditional, that God will fulfill that promise only if we do our part, that we know his character and his nature, that he will fulfill his end of the bargain, but there's something that we must do to see that promise fulfilled. And we've taken a look at specific promises that God has given to us. As we just sang a few minutes ago, fear is not from God. Clearly, the Bible says the spirit of fear, that does not come from God. But what does come from God is love, power, and a sound mind. That is what we hold on to. We do not have to be afraid of anything, and that we feel afraid that God's promise is that's not from him, that he gives us love, power, and a sound mind. That's his promise to us. We took a look at how many times guilt weighs so heavy in our lives that we look at our past and we look at things that we've done and we just get weighed down with guilt. Now, there's good guilt. There guilt is a good thing, but many times we allow guilt to keep us from what God has for our future. That guilt should be in our past, and God does not promise that we have to live in guilt, but that Jesus came to free us from that sinful past, to free us from all of our mistakes, to walk in his promises and the freedom that he has for us. Last week we looked at discouragement, that many times we just get overwhelmed with discouragement, and that we see the things that we've done or just how life is happening, and we get discouraged. We don't have to live in that discouragement, that we can walk forward in God's promises. Now, I want to give you an update. Last week I shared with you, my son Isaac was very discouraged with football practice. And if you weren't here last week, go back and go on the website and listen to the message last week. It'll make more sense, but he is not as discouraged as he was last week. Now that the conditioning part of football practice is over, things are better. He's not nearly as discouraged as he was when he first started. Now today I want to take a look at an area that many of us, if not all of us, struggle with one time or another. And often we feel as though we are drowning. It's one of those things that is nearly a universal struggle, no matter your background, no matter your upbringing, wherever you come from. We all struggle with this in one shape, fashion, or another. But we have a promise that we can hold on to in the middle of the struggle. And so if you would, go ahead and turn into your Bibles, if you have them, to Philippians chapter 4. If not, we have it. We don't have it up on the screen this morning, but you've got it on your phone. It's right there. It's on your phone, so you can grab it. But it's only one verse, so it's not that long. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And he says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." Let me read that again. "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You see, when we come to a decision to make Jesus the Lord of our life, that is a very important, and that is probably one of the most important decisions. It is the most important that any decision anyone can make. That we understand that Jesus lived a sinless life, that he walked perfectly as he was on this earth. And that we have God's word that tells us that he is the Son of God. And we are ultimately saying that I believe what your word says. I believe God because I was not there. I did not see Jesus with my own two eyes. I am believing the account of your word. I'm believing the account of the apostles. I'm believing what they said, that this is who Jesus was and this is how he lived. I'm believing in your word, and I'm trusting that what your word says is true. That there is only one way to heaven, and that is through your son Jesus. When we make a decision to put Christ number one in our lives, that's what we are saying. We're saying, God, I am trusting you with my eternity. I am trusting you that Jesus lived this perfect life and that he died for my sins, and not only my sins, but the sins of all mankind. I am believing and I am trusting in you that the account of everything that happened, that he died and he took all of my sins, but that he rose again 3 days later. And now he is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God. That is true. That is accurate. And I am putting my faith and hope in that for my salvation and for my eternity. That truly is the biggest decision that anyone can make. But you see, the important part that we understand is that is our own free will to make that choice. God has not dictated to us that we must believe in his word, that we must believe in Jesus, but that we have free will. It's our own choice. We get to choose whether or not we want to believe that or not. Now, for most of us in this room, I know I'm going out on a limb today, but for most of us in this room today, you're probably saying, yes, I believe that, and I have made that commitment. That I believe in God's word. I'm trusting in what the accuracy of God's word, and that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And I am placing my hope and my eternity in him. That when my days on this earth cease, that I will be in the presence of God. I know that's probably not too far of a stretch to say that most of us in this room today have made that decision. That you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and you've chosen to follow him. That is a very important decision that any one of us can make. But think about, if you would for me, for a moment, think about eternity. Think about eternity for just a moment. Now you're probably like, I cannot think about eternity. I cannot fathom eternity. I can't think of something that is infinite. That is hard, because that's what eternity is. Eternity is forever. That is one of the most difficult things for the human mind to grasp, forever. Now, we say that in joking, and, you know, I was waiting at the DMV forever. Really? Really? Were you waiting in the DMV forever? No, you're probably waiting for an hour and a half or 2 hours, which seems like an eternity in the DMV, but was it really forever? No, it wasn't. It was just a long period of time in the scope of your 24 hours that day. Eternity can be difficult for us to grasp as individuals. You see, we understand things as finite, that there's a start and there's an end. We get up every morning, whether it's when the sun rises, the rooster crows, or your alarm clock is going off, or a kid's running in your room jumping on the bed, or the dog's waking you, whatever it is, you wake up. There's a beginning. There is a starting point to your day. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens in the middle, and then you go to sleep. Beginning, middle, end. That's how our minds think. That's how we understand concepts. We start a book, there's a beginning, middle, end. We watch television, we watch a movie, beginning, middle, end. That's how we work. Eternity is so much more than that. Eternity is forever. There really is no starting point to eternity. So it's hard for us to grasp this. We think start, finish. Eternity is forever. Even in the Bible, look at Genesis. You go back in the beginning, a starting point. There is a beginning to it, but eternity is forever. It always has been and it always will be. And that's God. God always has been and he always will be. Now that's hard for us to, I just can't, how, but that's how it works. Our minds don't work that way, so it's hard to grasp eternity. But eternity is forever. So when we place our trust and our hope in Jesus, we are saying that forever I will be with God in eternity. That when my life stops existing here in this form on planet Earth, that I will be with God forever. And many of us are looking forward to that day. Hopefully all of us are looking forward to that day. But that truly is a big decision, to say that I am placing my eternity and my hope in what your word says, that who Jesus said he was is truly who he is, and I am placing my salvation in that. That's a big decision. And a one decision that I love to see people make, obviously. But there are things in our lives that, while we give God our eternity, there are some other things that we choose to hold on to. We say, God, I'm trusting you with my eternity, but I'm going to hold on to this. I'm trusting you with my salvation. I am trusting you with my eternity, but I'm going to hold on to this. Why do we do that? Why do we say, eternity is yours, but the life that I live right here, I got it. I don't need your help. I'm going to hold on to it. There are so many times that we go through life, challenges, adversities that we face, but we hold on to them. We try to do everything we can to make things work instead of trusting God. We'll trust you with our eternity, but not in our day-to-day lives. One of the things that people struggle with the most is God providing for our needs. I've seen many people hold on to this more than any other struggle, that they trust God with their eternity, but yet when it comes to their day-to-day needs, the provision that they need in their lives, God, I got it. I don't need your help on this. God always provides for his children. God will never not give us what we have need of. Yet this area often gives people the most trouble. I'm trusting you with my eternity, but God, don't you see I need this? Don't you see what's going on? Where are you at? He's right there. The same God that's giving you hope for eternity is the same God that's right there that's going to help you with your present need. But why do we question it? Why do we struggle with that so much? Back to the text that we read a few moments ago in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and he was writing to encourage them. He was writing to thank them for all that they had done. Have you ever been around an encouraging person before? You know, one of those people that they just, you come into their presence, and it can just be for 5 minutes, and you're like, man, I can take on the world. They just exude it. They give you life. They give you energy. They speak into your life. They push you. And you're just like, where are you at every day? I need you right here because this is awesome. Just as well as there are negative people that can drain our reserves, people can be encouragers. Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi. He was encouraging them for what they had done. He wanted to thank them for all that they had blessed his life with. And so he takes this opportunity in Philippians, as he's writing this letter to them, to encourage them, to thank them, but to share a promise, to share the nature of who God is. That God is the supplier of all your needs. He takes a moment, and in this opportunity to thank them, but to show who God is, that you can trust God with your daily needs. You can trust him for your salvation, but you can trust him every day for what you have need of. How many needs will God supply? All of them. Not a trick question. How many needs will God supply? Every single one of them. God will supply all of our needs. How many? How many? How many? all of them. So why do we question it? Why do we worry? Why do we struggle with this area? We know what God's word is. We trust him with salvation in our eternity. But yet, when a bump in the road happens, oh God, where are you? We need to trust his word. We need to trust him that he is who he says he is. And when he says he will supply all of our needs, he will supply all of our needs. Now, it's important to pause and discuss what our needs are. What do we really need to live? If you ask your children, your grandchildren, my kids, what do you need right now to play Fortnite is what they need. If you're not familiar with Fortnite, it's a video game that is just taking the lives of our kids right now. It's just all-encompassing. All they want to do is play Fortnite. And even maybe some of you in here today, maybe that's what you feel like. You need every day, I got to play Fortnite. My kids feel like they need to play Fortnite. If I can't play Fortnite, I'm going to die. It's a video game. You are not going to die. We've got, at our house, we have filters that we can set for our kids. We have time limits that we can put on our kids so they're not playing video games all day long. And every single day, that timer goes off. As soon as, when they wake up in a couple hours, boom, that timer, they've used up all their time. You realize you've used all your time today? Like, you've got the rest of the day, and you used it all right now before lunchtime? They feel like they need to play Fortnite. But it is not what you need, it's what they want. But how many of us, if we were truly examining our lives, with things that we want actually be put in the category of things that we say we need? There are things that we're believing God for and saying, God, I need this, but actually, if we were honest and we had somebody else's opinion say, look at my wants and needs list, we probably could say, you know what, I don't need that, that's probably just a want. But my car, it's not as new as everybody else's. My car, it's, you know, it runs, it gets me from point A to point, but I need a new car. Whoa, wait a second. You need a new car or do you want a new car? No, I need a new car. Wait, let's evaluate. Does it get you from point A to point B? We live in Florida, okay, so I'm going to be sympathetic. We live in Florida here. Does it have a running air conditioner? Okay, then okay, you can, if it doesn't, okay, that might move it from the want to the need category. But you understand where I'm going with this, that sometimes we think the things that we need are actually just things that we want. And we get upset with God because he hasn't provided for my needs. And he's saying, that's not what you need. That's just what you want. My word says, my promises, I will provide for all of your needs, not our wants. And we have to be very, take the time to realize something that is a want and something that is a need. That I can look at my kids and tell them, no. That's not what you need. I need it. No. That's just what you want. No, I need it. No, you don't. I promise you, that is not something that you need. It's something that you want. But how many times have we done that with God? God, I need this. And he says, no. That's what you want. That's not what you need. We get upset with God. God, where are you? I'm right here. But I'm not giving you what you want. I'm supplying your needs. Now, I'm not saying that God won't bless us, that God is a loving and caring God. And you know what? He does sometimes give us the things that we want. He gives us our heart's desires. That's a loving, caring parent. There are things that I give to my kids that aren't what they need, that I give them things that they want too, because I love them, that I care about them. But it doesn't mean I'm going to give them everything that they want, even though they want me to. And sometimes we ask that of God. God, I want you to give me all of these things that they're my wants. And he's saying, that's exactly right. They're your wants. So Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi that God is the supplier of all of your needs. Not all of our wants, but all of our needs. So we need to understand that. We need to understand that. And we need to evaluate. If we feel like God isn't coming through, is this something that I want? Or is this truly something that I need? And once we evaluate that, we can take the next step. Just because we may really, 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 really want it doesn't mean that it's something that we need. Now, there are times that God will and is going to provide for our needs. That God is the supplier of our needs. We need a place to live. We need clothes. We need food. You need a job to provide for your family. The list goes on. There are things that we absolutely need. And the promise is that God will supply those needs. There are things daily that we need to survive to make it through this thing called life. And that's where we find God's promise. That's the word that we can hold on to make it through our daily lives. So how can we hold on to God's promise when we understand the difference between a want and a need? That's first. Understanding, is this really something that I want, or is this truly something that I need? If it is something that we need, then we go to God's word. We go to him and say, okay, God, this is something that I absolutely need. How do we understand? How do we hold on to that promise? Who is God in the middle of that? Well, if you would, take a moment. Look at Jesus' ministry. You know, when it gives us some encouragement to see that when God was doing things, when Jesus was doing things, that his disciples didn't always understand what was going on. Do you read that through the gospel sometimes and you see that and like, Jesus, I don't get what you did there. You know, I just see them just like all scratching their head like, can you explain that again? I don't get it, you know? And he's, they're in the middle of it all and they miss the point. They see him doing miracle after miracle after miracle and they miss it. So I believe that God gives us a little bit more grace when he's doing things on our behalf and we don't get it. Because the disciples were right there and they didn't get it all the time. So I think that we've got a little bit of grace to understand that God is going to be working and we may not understand everything. They missed some of the miracles. They missed it. And sometimes we miss what God is doing because of our own lack of understanding. If the disciples didn't get what Jesus is doing, then maybe we're not going to understand what God is doing right now in our lives. And that brings me to our first point, is that when we are in the middle of something and we need God to provide, it truly is a need, we need to understand that God may provide differently than what we expected. God may be providing for us, but it's going to come differently than we ever anticipated. That God is going to move. Again, Jesus doing all of these miracles, and the disciples, they didn't quite understand it because he was doing it differently than what they thought he should. Jesus came as the prophet, the savior of the world, and they missed it because they thought it was going to happen a certain way. And he said, no, I'm doing it a different way. He provided our need of salvation, but it happened completely different than anyone expected. So God may be providing for you, but it may be coming in a way that you never thought. And we miss it. We miss it because it's not happening the way that we thought it should. You can probably look back in your life and say, you know what? If I went back to high school and envisioned how my life would play out, I would say probably 100% of us here, yeah, it played out a whole lot different than I thought it was going to be in ninth grade. All right? In ninth grade, I thought my life was going to happen like this, and now I'm here, and life has happened, played out a whole lot differently than I anticipated it. And most of us are probably thankful that it played out differently than it did than we thought it would in ninth grade. I'm glad my life didn't play out the way it did. I thought it was going to be in ninth grade. That's why it amazes me that in schools they're telling kids to figure out what your life career is when you're in high school. What? How are you supposed to know what you want to do for your life when you don't even know what color shirt to put on today to match clothes? What are we thinking? Anyway, God will provide for our needs, but it may happen differently than we ever anticipated. Look at the Israelites in captivity as an example of this. They escaped. They were in bondage in Egypt, and they cried out to God. God, we need you to come through. We are in slavery. Let us go from this oppression, this terrible life. So what does God do? He provides for them. But where does he send them? To the desert. God, we're not on the same page here. You weren't supposed to send us to the desert. They're saying, God, what happened? They were even wanting to go back to Egypt. That's not what they expected God to do. Over and over and over again, we see how God provided for his people. Supernaturally provided for his people. Looking at the Israelites, they're traveling through the desert. And God provides for them. He gives them what they have need of and happens in a way that nobody would ever expected. When they ask, you know, when manna's falling from heaven, did they ever think that was going to happen? Did they think it was just going to come from the sky and now we've got food to eat? No, absolutely not. If God can provide for the needs of hundreds of thousands of Israelites wandering in the desert, he can provide for you and your family. It just may happen differently than you anticipate it. God, I thought it was supposed to happen this way. When we look through the story of the Israelites, and we can look at it and go, how are they so ungrateful? How are they so ungrateful that they asked God to provide, he provided for them, and now they're complaining. Those ungrateful people, what is wrong with them? All right, I can't be the only person that's ever thought that. What is wrong with them? Why don't they get the picture? Why don't they understand it? But if someone to look at our lives, would they look back and go, why is he so ungrateful? Look, God is providing for him.
But it didn't happen the way I thought, God. I thought you were going to do something else. What? This isn't happening. I thought you were going to give me $1 million, and you just gave me this little side job.
Why are you so ungrateful? He provided.
But it wasn't the way you thought it was.
Just because it's different than the way you thought it was doesn't mean that God has not met his need, that God has not met your need. He has fulfilled his end of the promise. Maybe right there is where God wants you to be, and you need to be steady in that and learn from it. Be present where you are. God led the Israelites to their promise. And because of so many variables, so many things I don't have time to go into today, they had to wander for 40 years and wandered and wandered and wandered and wandered. How many times have we wandered in our lives? They should have understood that God had them right where he wanted them to be. And maybe God has you right where you are for that season, for that moment in time. That he's providing for you. Be present where you are. Give it all you have. But God, this isn't how it was supposed to be. I needed a job, but this is what the job that I thought it was going to be. That's okay. He's got you here for a season. He's providing for you. It's a paycheck. It's coming in to provide. Yes, God, I'll be happy right where. Be present where you are. Don't grumble. Don't complain. Don't look for what's next. The grass is greener, is always greener on the other side, but when you get over there, you realize the grass that you're on was greener than what you're standing on. That didn't make any sense, but okay. It actually did make sense. I just said it really fast. Be present where you are. Be present right where you are, because God may be doing something in your life in that season because he's teaching you something to lead you to the next place. It's not everything I wanted. That's okay, because it's going to be one day, but learn where you are. It doesn't mean that you won't have your dream job someday. Maybe he's testing you right now to see if you'll be faithful in the small things. Just because it doesn't happen the way we think doesn't mean that God has not met our needs. It just may come in a different way. Number two, God will provide according to his riches. I saw a study recently that said the world's poverty level, think about this for a minute, the world's poverty level is at the lowest rate it has ever been. Now, there are still people living in extreme poverty. I'm not saying that it's done, it's over with. There are still people that don't have access to running water, food, necessities. But overall, the world poverty level is at its lowest rate in history. That is absolutely staggering. That people are rising from not having anything to having access to more than they've ever had access to do. Yet, if we were to take all the wealth in the world, take all the billionaires and trillionaires and whatever, everybody's wealth, all the people that just have a dollar to their name, all the wealth in the world, and stack that up against God's wealth, it wouldn't even compare. God's riches are so beyond anything that we could imagine. There is no lack in God's riches and glory. Even the most wealthy person in this world can run out of money. It would be hard to do, but they could run out of money. God will never run out of his riches. In eternity, God will never run out of riches. There is no end to God's supply. And guess what the promise is? We're on the receiving end of that supply. Be grateful for that. Amen. We are on the receiving end of a supply that never ends. Look at the miracle that happened in 2 Kings chapter 4. You don't have to turn there, but this is where Elisha told the widow to gather the empty vessels. And he said, go gather all the empty vessels, and God will continue to pour out oil into those vessels. And guess what? The oil kept coming. She gathered vessels, and the oil kept coming. She gathered vessels, and the oil kept coming. When did the oil stop? When she ran out of vessels. That's when God's supply stopped, when there was no more to put it in. Our needs represent those empty vessels. God will continue to pour into all of our needs until there are no more needs to be met. There is a never-ending supply of God's riches. our needs are met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What a promise to hold on to. That's a promise we can stand on when we don't know where that next paycheck is going to come from. When we don't know where things are going to fall into place. I don't know. Well, I know that you can meet this need according to your riches, God, and there is no end to that supply. God will never run out of provision for us. It's not like you stand in line and you're just waiting and you see, oh man, I don't know, the lines keep moving and he's going to run out before I get to him. It's going to run out. You know, have you been in a situation like that, like free food or whatever, like, oh man, I'm going to miss out on it. And you're like right there and they run out and then you're next, oh, you don't get anything. That's not going to happen in God's standards. God will never run out. You're not going to be the person sitting there with it, not with God saying, I'm sorry. His supply is never ending. We do not have to worry about his provision. It's a never-ending supply. Number three, we've got to do our part. Again, there are promises that God provides. He is going to meet our needs, but there are things that we have to do. Paul was encouraging and thanking the church at Philippi for what they had done and their gracious generosity. But understand, this was not just a wealthy church. They just didn't have these wealthy benefactors that, oh yeah, we've got tons of money. These were people that were just living daily. They were just getting by, but yet they were giving and pouring into Paul's life. They were giving out of lack. And Paul was encouraging them, because of what you're giving, because of what you've done, God is going to meet your needs. He sees what you've done. He's not going to leave you hanging high and dry. They gave out of what little they had at a great personal cost. And Paul wanted to assure them, God sees that. You see, it can be hard to give. It can be hard when there's not a whole lot to give from. There's not a whole lot that I have. Think of the lady in the oil. Oh, I just got a little bit of oil, but give what you have. But God will supply the rest. It gives me such encouragement when I hear people and they give and they know that I just don't know if I get, but I'm giving because I know God is going to meet my needs. God is going to supply according to his riches. They give out of sacrifice because they know that God is the one that's going to continue to provide. It all comes back to trust. Do we trust in what his word says? Do we trust that we're believing for salvation, but we're also believing that he's going to meet our needs as well? I submit to you this morning that if we're trusting God for our salvation, we can trust him for everything else. That we don't have to worry about God not coming through and meeting our needs. If you're saying, God, I trust in you, I'm putting my hope and my faith in your son for eternity, we can trust him for the day-to-day things. We can trust him for a job. We can trust him for a new car. We can trust him to meet our financial obligations. We can trust him in all of these things. And that's a promise that we can hold on to. But it may not happen in our time frame. It may not happen when we expect it to happen. But look what Psalm 37, 25 says. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. That's a promise that God will come through. God will provide. If we're living for God, doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're striving. We put our faith and our hope in Jesus and we're doing the best that we can. We're living for God, that God is going to provide for us. He's not going to leave us begging and wanting. He's going to provide for us. It just may not happen when we want it to. In the Greek, there are two terms for time. Chronos is human time. The clock on the wall, the beginning, middle, end to every day. And then there's Kairos time. That's God's time. But we want God to always move in Chronos time, my time. And God says, no. I'm going to meet the need in Kairos time, in my time. And that's where we have to have the faith and the trust and the hope in him that he's going to provide, even though it may not happen the way that we think it should. It may not come in the time frame we may think it or want it. But that God is going to provide and we can stand on that. God, you know my need. You know what I have need of. I'm trusting in you to meet that need according to your perfect will and in your timing. And we're saying that. We're submitting to him and saying, God, I'm giving over to you. I'm not going to put any time limits on mine. You know my time limits. You know there. We don't have to tell God, I need a job by X day. He knows that. Are you sure you know that God? Because I can send you another email and make sure we're on the same page. He knows. But we have to trust him through that time. There's a perfect time for everything, and that's in God's time. It's not easy. It's not always going to be one of those things, but that's where we come back to God's word and say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I know what your word says. I'm putting my eternity in you. I can trust you to provide a job. I'm trusting my eternity in you. I know that you can meet whatever this need that you're facing, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whatever it is, that he is a supplier of all of our needs, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I encourage you this morning that if you've been struggling in this area, that you have needs in your life, and they truly are needs. You've evaluated, and this is something that you need. It's not something that has crossed over from the want list to the need list. It truly is a need. That God understands and he knows right where you are. He has not forgotten about you. He hasn't just left you to beg, plead, borrow, and steal. He knows exactly where you are. And he is going to provide for you. He is going to meet whatever that need is in your life. If you have trusted him with your salvation, with your eternity, you can trust him with whatever need is you're facing today. And it's my hope and my encouragement that when you walk out of those doors today, that you will know that God is going to work it out in his timing. That he's going to work it out according to his perfect will. But don't be surprised if it doesn't happen the way you think it should. Be open to it. Say, God, I'm open to whatever you have. I have no qualifications. I have no standards. You know the need. Meet it. And I'm going to rejoice when you do. I know that you're going to meet this need according to your riches and glory, to your supply that never ends. You know my need. And I'm trusting in you that you will meet it in your time and according to your perfect will. That's our promise that we can stand on. Father, I pray for every person in this room, and specifically those, God, that have a need. You know exactly what it is. It might be a health need. It could be a financial need. It could be a relational need. God, I don't know what it is, but you do. I pray specifically, God, that you would move, that you would provide. But God, in that time, in that waiting period, that we would trust, that we would speak your word, that we would pray your word, we would proclaim your word over that need. You've given us your word for a reason to hold on to stand firm on. And then when you come through, when you provide, we can share the testimony of how you came through to encourage those around us. God, I thank you in advance for the needs that are going to be met, and that we can come together as a family, as a body of believers, and share how you came through, to give glory to your name of how you provided in your perfect timing, in your will. May we be open to it, that you may be trying to move in our lives and we've been standing in the way. But today, God, we remove all barriers. Say, God, you are the one that will provide. I'm going to take my hands off now. I'm going to give it over to you. Maybe that's where you are today. You've been trying so hard. I've been trying to do it. Say, God, I'm not going to try. I'm going to give it over to you. I'm going to trust in you. This need, whatever it is, I'm giving it to you. Right here, right now, give it to him. God, I thank you that you are the supplier of our needs. A loving, caring, gracious God who sees every single one of us and knows our needs and will provide and meet every single one of them. We thank you again in advance for your provision and your perfect will. In Jesus' strong and powerful name, everyone says, amen and amen. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged. And if you have to, speak that verse all week long. Go to Philippians 4:19 and speak it every day. When you get up in the morning and you go to bed, speak that verse over your life.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.